Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today we're going to talk with Becky Endicott. We're going to talk about her career at Wichita State. Becky is retiring. Let me give you the background. Becky started at Wichita State as an intern in the athletic department, marketing, student services in 1993. She joined the staff full-time in 1994 and is now serving as Senior Associate Athletics Director and Senior Women's Administrator. She oversees NCAA compliance, academic support services, sports medicine, and is the liaison to the NCAA for athletic certification. So, Becky, let's kind of start at the beginning. You went to Heights, you went to Emporia State, you played softball at Emporia State, tennis for the Hornets. How did you end up at Wichita State?
Well, it's kind of a unique story. I actually am from Wichita and had the opportunity to grow up in the city and made the decision to go to Emporia State to play softball in particular, although I went on a tennis scholarship. I had played some tennis in high school and at the time was not playing high school softball because I was playing on a summer league team called the McPherson Charlet Queens, and you couldn't do both at the time. And we were playing actually Jill Larson and Kelly Phipps, two individuals also from Wichita, were playing on that team. And so none of the three of us played high school softball. So I went to Emporia State, played softball at Emporia State, had a great experience, actually did my student teaching in the fall of that year at Newton High School, and had the opportunity then to come back my senior year and play softball at Emporia State. So right after that happened, I ended up getting an opportunity to work at Buehler High School, which is right up the road, obviously, and not too far from Hutchison. I took over as the head volleyball coach and worked at Buehler High School for 5 years, and then had the opportunity to leave there and become the head volleyball coach at Hutchison Community College. So I went to Hutchison Community College, and after a few years I was there under the tutelage of Sam, what's Sam's last name?
I know who you're talking about. Let me look it up here.
Well, under his tutelage as Sam Butterfield.
Yes.
Under Sam Butterfield, he was the athletic director at Hutchison Community College at the time. He wanted me to start a softball program. So I started a softball program at Hutchison Community College and ended up working there for about 10 years as the head volleyball coach and the head softball coach. And then I decided I better come back and get my master's degree. And so I chose to get my degree in sports administration here at Wichita State. So I coached two sports, drove back and forth to go to grad school. And at the time when that program, they wouldn't allow you to do your internship at where you worked. And so I had to quit my job at Hutchison Community College and had the opportunity to come to Wichita State. They had just started a graduate assistant program, and I kind of kid it all the time now with Darlene Bailey, who is one of my great mentors, that my first year that I worked at Wichita State doing my internship, I got $76 a month after taxes to live on, to work for that entire academic year for Wichita State University. So it's kind of a unique story. At the end of my internship, they only had one position that was open, and that was assistant ticket manager under Margie Dersey. So I interviewed for that job, and they offered me that position, and I accepted, and said then that I would come to work the 1st of July at the beginning of the fiscal year. Well, that summer, I happened to be running the gazebo at the Wichita Country Club. And so Dr. Bailey called me and said, we have a problem. We're not going to give you the assistant ticket manager job. We're going to have to fire you. But we want you to be an academic coordinator. And so I said, that'd be great. I'll come back as an academic coordinator. And So I went on and worked a little bit more that summer at the Wichita Country Club, waiting still to come to work the 1st of July. And Dr. Bailey called me again and said, we're not going to give you that academic coordinator job. And I said, okay. And she said, we're going to have to fire you again. And I said, okay. And I kind of paused, and she said, because we want you to be the director of student services. So then I started that summer as the director of student services, and I'd never done a Division I eligibility, but I had a great mentor, as I said, in Darlene Bailey, and I had the opportunity to learn under her and Diane Barnes, our former registrar, and so it just kind of has moved on from there. Darlene obviously was still at Wichita State, so she was a great mentor for me, and finally made the decision. She made the decision to leave and go to Missouri State, which gave me the opportunity to move up into the position that I'm currently in.
And were they just starting student services then?
No, they had a student services area. They just had done some restructuring of the department. And so when I did my internship, I did my internship in student services. And so they had done some restructuring and some moving around of different people. And so it was kind of a unique opportunity, and, you know, I had to learn on the fly.
No doubt. What got you hooked on athletics as a career?
You know, Paul, I think I grew up in the Wichita area and had some great experiences. I think a lot of people know Bonnie Bing. Bonnie was my junior high PE teacher, and I think my first experience probably was with her in relationship to where I was headed in my career. And I think that's probably why I made the decision to pursue my undergraduate degree in physical education and psychology is because of Bonnie. She was a great mentor when I was in junior high and continued to do some mentoring to me when I went on to high school. So I think that's probably it. But I would have to attribute it probably to my parents. I have an older sister who was a very, very good pitcher. She was a great softball player. And I got the opportunity growing up to be her catcher because my dad got real tired of having to squat that many nights in a row. And so it gave me the opportunity to get involved in that sport. And, you know, I had a lot of opportunities to travel all over the United States playing summer softball and playing, you know, different sports. I played basketball in high school, did a lot of different things. But I think it's just, you know, a combination of having an older sister and my parents. My parents were both very athletic. My mom was a great bowler, and my dad played softball every night of the week that I can ever remember as I was growing up. So it's just kind of natural in our family.
When you talk to people around the department, they say they lean on you for, you know, your organization, the detail-oriented. You've been through all of this, so you know how to do all these kind of things, always prepared for the meetings and the Zoom calls, all those kind of things. Were you always like that, or is that something you had to kind of grow into as you learned at this job?
I think I've been pretty detail-oriented since I was a kid. I think when you grow up with parents who both work, my mom worked the entire time I was growing up, and obviously my dad worked the entire time I was growing up, that you have to also become detail-oriented in how you're going to run a family. And I think it's just kind of always been that way for me. Obviously, my undergraduate degree is in teaching, and so I felt like that was important to be able to create lesson plans and do educational pieces for students. So it just carries over into the realm of what I do on a daily basis now. Being prepared for any meeting is just like being prepared to teach a bunch of young children every day in the classroom. And so I think that's important. I also think that, you know, people that have coached make good administrators because they know the urgency of the coaches that they have in getting things done. You know, I kind of joke sometimes that in athletics, we make hundreds of decisions every day, and we have to stand by the decisions that we make, and we have to stand by them, and you have to go with them. And so if you're not prepared in a leadership role to be able to move into a meeting or be organized or something like that, you can't make those decisions that are so important in relationship to student athletes' lives.
Let's take a quick break from the Shockers. You are a big Kansas City Chiefs fan. Favorite, what's your favorite Chiefs moment? What comes to mind first?
Well, obviously, winning the Super Bowl. I always, you know, said that I hope I live long enough to see us win another Super Bowl. That was a pretty unique night last, you know, this. That's the one good thing that's happened in 2020 is the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Because being down as far as we were down and some of those things and having the opportunity to pre-COVID still celebrate that that win, I you know, absolutely, I think that's one of the most unique moments that I've been around when it considers the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, 2020 took a bit of a nosedive after that, but at least we got the Chiefs in. So obviously college athletics has just changed significantly during your time at Wichita State. When people ask you that question, what things pop to mind first about the big changes?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I guess if you look back, if you want to look back 20 years or you want to look back 30 years, I think, you know, some things used to with the NCAA and college athletics used to be easy. And now things have gotten a lot more integrated into policies and bylaws. And, you know, when I first started working here, our NCAA manual was probably, you know, 50 pages long. Now our NCAA manual is not only 300 pages long, but interps and things of that nature that go on and on and on and on. So I think it's, you know, we have to look at athletics as a business. I think it's important to look at it in the global perspective as that. But I also think that athletics has to be centered around the bullseye, which is the student athlete. And everything we do as an athletic administration, as coaches, well, you know, as community individuals, should be centered around what's in the best interest of the student athlete. And that's how we have to make our decisions. And I think that's important to know because it used to be we had certain protocols we'd follow, and now those protocols have changed, and our students have changed, and we have to be able to adjust with the changes that are going on in order to be successful.
When you flip through the highlights, the pictures, the snapshots in your mind, what comes to mind from Wichita State since 94?
You know, obviously I was around when we weren't really very good. In a lot of things. We'd had quite a bit of success in baseball. And, you know, as we sit here, I can look at, the baseball national championship pictures. But I think the most things that I look back at is the big turnaround. You know, when Jim Schaus came here, we wrote a strategic plan and a 5-year strategic plan, and then we worked the plan. And then we wrote another 5-year strategic plan, and we worked the plan. And seeing not only our baseball program be successful, but our men's basketball team being successful, our women's sports becoming very successful. And, you know, when I walk downstairs, one of the things I look at all the time is the number of all sports trophies we won in the Missouri Valley Conference. That's hard to do. When you consider that you have 15 sports and they all have to have a tremendous amount of success in order to be able to do that. So I think the moments that I go back to are, you know, when we turned the volleyball program around and in hiring Chris Lamb and having the ability for him to, you know, the first years he's here playing, he played in the Heskett Center, and then having him the opportunity to play in Charles Koch Arena and how he elevated that program from that point forward. And then, you know, obviously hiring Steve Rainbolt and his success that he's had in the track and field program. You know, and it goes on and on and on throughout our sport programs of what we've been able to accomplish, because the hardest thing we do in athletic administration is hire good people. The second hardest thing we do is try to keep those people here. And we've had a lot of success in being able to keep people here and keep good coaches here and have them be a part of our programs and be successful. I think other highlights that really jump into my mind is obviously the 3 years in a row that we won the Women's Basketball Missouri Valley Conference, and that program and getting the opportunity to see that program and see where it really can do. Obviously with softball, it's been a fun ride in relationship to them finally getting to the NCAAs and back in the NCAAs since Tim was here and having the opportunity to play in the big games at Arkansas and some of those kind of things. So it's been a great opportunity, and it's something that I'll remember for a long time. But I think the most important thing about it all is I'll remember the people, not only the coaches, but the student athletes, and how, you know, they still keep in touch. It's still an opportunity for them to go, oh, yeah, I had a friend the other day that said to me that she was over at one of our former baseball players' home, and he said, and she told him I was going to retire, and he said, she's one of the ones I really liked. And so I think, you know, if you do those things and you treat people the way that you want to be treated, that you're going to make great memories with a lot of people and a lot of things that have happened over the however many 28 years I've been here.
I think out of all the sports that you mentioned, and I guess especially the women's sports, volleyball kind of stands out to me, because I don't know that anybody in 1998 or 99 would have said these kind of things are possible, and boy, we ought to really work hard toward these goals. What happened to get Wichita State volleyball to the point where, you know, not only is it going to the NCAA tournament, but then hosting and getting, you know, 7,000-8,000 people in here for an NCAA match?
I think that's attributed to Chris Lamb, you know, and Shannon Lamb, who at the time that, you know, obviously she came from Washington State and Chris was at Arizona, but I think it's attributed to them and how they came into this community and embraced the community, because in particular club volleyball wasn't very big in the state of Kansas at the time, and how they built relationships and went forward with those relationships and then continued to recruit and get better every year. You know, Chris's hands were tied the first three couple of years he was here because he had returning athletes from the previous coaching group, and I think that he, you know, he took advantage of that. He got some early really good commits and got one or two really good commits at the beginning, and then it just started to steamroll from there. So, you know, I think you have to attribute it to him and his ability to not only recruit. When you look at some of his star players or Kansas people, and Kansas young women who hadn't played a lot of volleyball, but yet he was able to bring them to Wichita State, train them, and show them the way to be successful.
You mentioned several of the coaches, Chris Lamb, Steve Rainbolt, with long tenures, and there are a lot of them, Colin Foster in tennis, Tom McCurdy in golf, Christy Breadbenner in softball. What has Wichita State done to make this a place where those coaches want to stay?
You know, I think it's how you treat people. Paul, I think, you know, you give them the resources that they can be successful, and then how you treat them as, you know, running their own little entrepreneurships and developing, you know, success in the way that best works for them. It's hard to turn programs around. It's hard to take teams that don't have the right cultures and don't have the right personnel in place and turn a season around. You have to give them time. And you have to allow them to use their philosophy to be able to do that. You know, and in certain cases, we had some coaches that were here prior to that were very successful. And it's bringing back that mentality You know, when Tim Walton was here, we had that mentality in the sport of softball. And Tim wasn't here an extensive long time. But then we had a couple of years in between that we had a different coaching staff, and the mentality had changed. So when Christy came, she had to take that group and develop it into what she wanted her culture to be. And it's the same thing with Colin Foster. You know, Colin's been very, very successful here, but Chris Young was very, very successful here before him. And Colin was able to take what Chris had done and just keep it rolling from that point. So it depends on the situation, I think, that each coach is in and how they can develop their culture within their program and their winning philosophies in order to be able to be successful the way they want to be successful in the environment that they're currently in.
Sometimes your role or Wichita State's role is to be a place where Steve Rainbolt wants to stay for a long time. Sometimes it's a role to take a Tim Walton or a Chris Young and help them, and then they move on. What's the difference in the sense of pride of being part of that kind of a process for a young coach?
You know, I think the thing that you have to do to be a good administrator is you have to figure out what your staff and what your coaching staff's dream jobs are, you know. And if their dream job is only one thing that they may not be able to, you know, achieve because of a long-standing coach at that institution that's probably not going to retire at that institution as well, then you have to do everything to create the culture to keep that coach here until that dream job may potentially come open. You know, and I think it's very similar to student athletes. Once you get a coach here and you have the opportunity to recruit them here, Wichita's a great place to live. And I think they fall in love with the city, they fall in love with the community, they fall in love with the support that Shocker Nation has for all of our sports. And so I think that you have to find out from each of them, where would they potentially go? And, you know, you can't hold coaches back that have dream jobs and or have the opportunity to go back home, you know. And I think in those cases, you have to let them go. You have to let them go where they think is going to be the job that they want to retire at. And that's kind of how our mentality has been at Wichita State. You know, we want you here. We're going to do everything to try to help you be successful. But, you know, if you or your wife or your husband have an opportunity to take you home, then go home and be happy where you're going to be and be as successful as you could have been at Wichita State University.
Just to refresh people's memories, Tim Walton is now the softball coach at Florida, where he has won one national title or...
I think he's won one or two. I don't know off the top of my head.
Very successful. He was softball coach at Wichita State for, I think, three seasons. Took Wichita State to the NCAA tournament. Chris Young is now the tennis coach at Oklahoma State, doing very well there. The success of women's athletics at Wichita State has just been really striking over the past 20 years. You talked about Jim Shouse, and he played a big role in that. Take us through the path of getting, you know, not just the volleyball program or women's basketball, but it's extended to golf, everything. How did women's athletics take this path?
I think it goes back to what we talked a little bit before about, Paul. It was our strategic plan. In Jim's vision under the tutelage of Dr. Beggs, every program was just as important as any other program. And so it was... considering what our strategic plan was going to be. And when we first started off with our strategic plan, we wanted every one of our programs to be in the top three of the Missouri Valley Conference. And that includes all of our programs, men's and women's programs. And so how do we accomplish that through our strategic plan? Is that facilities? Is that funding? Is that scholarships? Is it the way our student athletes travel? Is it more money in recruiting dollars? So we wrote the first five-year strategic plan, and then we followed the plan and started gaining some success. And then our second five-year strategic plan, we said, okay, we've won conference championships. Everybody now is in the top three of the conference. What's our next step? And it was for every one of our programs to be in postseason play, and which we included, you know, obviously getting at-large bids to the NCAA. So I think if you have a plan in place that we did, you can build it. Now, once you build it, it's really hard to sustain it. And we all know that. And that's probably more difficult than building it. But I think I attribute a lot of that to the strategic plan that we wrote in the beginning years that Jim was here. Then when Jim left, we still had years left on that strategic plan, and we continued to work the plan and have the ability to continue to allow our coaches to be as successful as they could be in what they were doing.
Renovating Leavitt Arena into Koch Arena and expanding offices, student services, et cetera. How important was that to this whole process?
Oh, huge importance. You know, I still today I walk on the other side of the two-court practice facility and go, this is where my office used to be that had no air conditioning. It was across from a restroom that was downstairs. And the concourse was, you know, as wide as about a hallway. So it made a huge difference. It made a huge difference in our ability to recruit. It made a huge difference in fulfilling some of the needs that were in our strategic plan. And, you know, our new additions that we have now will do the same boost for our coaches and our staff that happened when we, you know, built Charles Koch Arena. The new Academic Learning Center, our new track facility, and those things will do absolutely the same. It just takes time.
We are about 10 days away from the start of women's basketball season. Keith Adams has that program going in the right direction. Tell us about that program's trajectory and what you see.
You know, Keith has done a great job. She's awesome to work with. I'm really proud that she's our women's basketball coach. You know, I think the challenge we have right now, if we're looking at this season, is, you know, the leadership that we have at each one of our coaching positions is going to have to be able to pivot and be able to pivot on a dime. And, you know, all that's based on COVID. You know, we don't know how many games we're going to play. We don't know how many times we're going to get a practice, where generally speaking, by now, a women's basketball program may have had, you know, 15 practices or whatever. But, you know, now we're having to flow with every day. And I think today actually is one of the first days that they've been able to practice as a group in the last week or so, just because of quarantines, you know, isolations, COVID issues, all the other things that go along with the world that we're living in right now. But she'll have that program moving forward. She'll continue to do the things that she does best, and that's relate to her student athletes and build championships. And it won't be very long before Keitha Adams is at the top of the American Athletic Conference. And this year was a year that we could have made really big strides, but at this point, we don't even know if we're going to be able to play 20 games. You know, we may play 10, and it's just going to depend on how well our student athletes respond to the protocols that we have in place and how well the teams that we are scheduled to play follow their protocols. Because it's not always about what you do in your own building and your own environment. You still have to play against another team.
What will you miss the most?
The people. You know, I think I'll miss the most the people. The daily interactions, whether that's just, you know, whether that's just Greer Jones stopping in, and before he retired, he stopped in my office every day, to the little things of, you know, somebody just stopping in just to say hi. Don't really need anything, just wanted to stop in to say hi. So I think that will be the one thing that I'll miss the most. But I also think it's, you know, It, you know, my dad always has told me that you never close a door and you never open a door unless you have a path to walk down in between those two doors. And I'll still be around. I'll be at women's basketball games. I'll be at softball games. I'll be around. It's just now it's time to walk down that hallway, but not close the door or open a total new door yet.
What's your favorite Greer Jones story? I know you gotta have many of them.
I don't know if I could say it to you. Greer Jones is one of my favorites. Greer and I go back to the 90s. He is a wonderful coach, a wonderful man, and, you know, I think probably the funniest one of them all, that he came to me one day. He was really frustrated with one of his student-athletes, and he was frustrated because the student-athlete wouldn't study enough. And I said, well, won't he study enough? He says, because all he does is eat junk food and watch TV. And I said, well, Greer, what are you going to do about that? You want to talk to a nutritionist? What do you want to do? And he said, no, I want to take away his refrigerator and I want to take away his television. And I said, Greer, whoa, you can't do that. They're not your property. Particularly the refrigerator that's in an apartment that the landlord owns. And Greer looked at me and goes, well, I still want to take away his refrigerator and his television.
That sounds like, that sounds like Greer Jones, definitely. Plans for retirement, what do you want to do?
You know, I think the biggest thing that I want to do in a short term is I want to have the opportunity to spend some time outside of working 60 or 70 hours a week. We all get in the athletics and we think, oh, it's great, but, you know, I probably won't miss the spring as much as I think I will when you're having, you know, home softball, home baseball, home track and field, a tennis meet, and everything else that goes along with it. But maybe get back out the sticks and play a little golf, and maybe they have the opportunity to do a few other things that I haven't been able to do in the last 10 or 15 years because... You know, we played every weekend. We had an opportunity. We had some kind of event every night. And, you know, do some of those things.
What advice would you give someone who is maybe taking a look at a career in college athletics?
I think probably the best piece of advice that I could give is don't let athletics make you have a lot of highs and a lot of lows. You always need to kind of stay on the same plane. And, you know, when I was growing up, my dad used to tell me all the time, don't ever let them see you sweat. And so I think as an administrator, you have to be able to not get too excited and not get too low based on what goes on a daily basis. And, you know, you have to treat people the way you would want them to treat you. And you have to be fair, and most of all, you have to communicate. And you have to over-communicate and understand the shoes that they're walking in at that day and at that time.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.